Item 2 is a subdivision
and rezoning at 378 Laxdale Road under file DASZ 32 of 2012. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time, namely Item 3, which is a variance at 378 Laxdale Road under file DAV 173096 of 2012D.
Okay, so we're hearing both items then concurrently.
Yes.
I'll call up, we'll start with those in support of both options. This is a bit unusual because usually we don't have two options. So we'll call up those in support of both options, the applicant, and then we'll go to in support of option one only, option two only, against, and for information. And we have about 40 or so people, 40 to 50, registered to speak. So I would ask that you stick to the time. We give a time limit of 10 minutes, but you don't need to use your whole 10 minutes if what you're saying is going, we'll be here all night. So, or if there's anybody sort of who has, you know, led a group of people and wants to speak on behalf of a small group, that's fine too. So, we'll start with Brian Gray.
Yeah. He was speaking on behalf of many people, so okay. Maybe he could be one of the first.
Yeah. I just don't know which one he was. Scott Mahoney.
He's in opposition to the vote, previously. Do you want me to find his name?
No, I don't remember that one. Yeah, he's working with Brian.
He's working with Brian.
Really sick.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Madam Chairperson, for the opportunity to speak tonight. Councillors, esteemed staff, and our committee clerk, Happy New Year to all of you. This is an opportunity for what I would submit, Madam Chairperson, to be truly sustainable, and I would again submit very sound infill development within our community. As your committee members know, Madam Chairperson, our planning policy document, our Winnipeg, which was just recently adopted here by Council and adopted unanimously, talks in terms of our city growing, if I remember correctly, by about 280,000 people during this decade and the next. I think in my own interpretation of that document, I think it's incumbent upon all of us to look for all reasonable opportunities, both for infill on lots such as we're presenting tonight or we're requesting be approved tonight, and also for growth on our periphery and greenfield development. Tonight I would submit, Madam Chairperson, that what we have is one of those opportunities that I think is too good to be passed up. It's lands that are before you in Charleswood, lands that we submit would be developed completely within the character of the existing neighborhood. Single-family homes that we expect would be very tastefully appointed. We would remind the committee that this would be done on land that is currently serviced by city emergency services, a very easy extension of water and sewer, not requiring any further cost to the city for growth of the city on its boundaries. And as I said, I think it's an excellent opportunity for sustainable infill housing. I would point out as well, Madam Chairperson, in support of that assertion, that within all of our contact with neighbors to date, that being several different rounds of emails and letters, two different public meetings, that there hasn't been one person that I listened to at those public meetings or heard from in emails, either directly or to the landowners, not one person who suggested that these lands should not be developed. To the contrary, everybody we spoke to, everybody that was good enough to come out and attend our public meetings, I would say, was taking a very good neighborly approach. That was saying that there was a spirit of willingness to try to engage in discussion to ensure that if the lands were to be developed, that they would be developed in a way that was keeping as best as possible within the nature and character of the neighborhood. So we're very pleased to be able to speak to those details tonight. As you've noted, Madam Chairperson, we're here tonight seeking both rezoning and subdivision variance, and also now as part of the updated report on the rezoning and subdivision, declaration of a very small amount of land along the right-of-way for a declaration of those lands being surplus. I just might add at this juncture, Madam Chairperson, that we would like to speak to should the committee consider approving one of the options, that before the night is closed, we would like to speak to one of the conditions upon the variance. And I can come back to that, Madam Chairperson, but I just wanted to make a note right now, just on the point of the time limits of the variance. So if it comes to that juncture later, Madam Chairperson, we would like to speak to that. Madam Chairperson, as I've noted, it's almost a year now that there has been some form of contact or another ongoing within our neighborhood regarding the applications tonight. Last winter, I think it was in February, there was contact from the land ownership group with our planning department. Some discussions were undertaken. It was not a full pre-application process, but some preliminary discussions that were undertaken in order to ensure that the owners could be as well informed as possible about any concerns or thoughts that the planning department had as to how these lands could be best developed. And although I was not a part of those discussions, Madam Chairperson, what I might say is that what's been described to me since then was that those discussions largely resulted in what is on the table tonight, I believe, as option two, that being something generally more consistent with what is in place as the city's concept shadow plan, I think it's called in the report. With that good advice in hand, I'm advised that the landowners then proceeded sometime in April to contact the immediate neighbors around the lands, particularly on Bramble and Laxdal, many of whom will be here tonight, Madam Chairperson. And the aspirations of the landowners were shared at that time with the neighbors, again, in all efforts to be as good a neighbor as possible and keep everybody in the neighborhood in the loop on what was happening. Very quickly thereafter, Madam Chairperson, there was some quick feedback that was received to the ownership group that was, I think, number one, expressing a lot of concern about the potential for through traffic being generated in the neighborhood if Geraldine was to be extended from Bramble across east to Laxdal. Several neighbors voiced their concern, saying that they did not want to see that happen and that they thought it might bring a risk of not only increased traffic but fast traffic, people trying to, you know, get around traffic lights and that sort of thing. And then the other matter, which I expect we'll hear from tonight, Madam Chairperson, was also feedback on the issue of lot sizes. With that feedback in hand from the neighbors, and once again, in all efforts to be as good a neighbor as possible, the ownership group had a second and a, quite a different survey drafted, which is the cul-de-sac option that is presented tonight. I believe it's option one, Madam Chairperson, which, again, in all good efforts and good conscience, was an attempt to try to respond to the concern of the neighbors by closing off Geraldine to through traffic and instead providing what I think is kind of an innovative walkway approach, but which would be built, as was the proposal of the landowners, would be built and engineered specifically to allow for emergency access should the city approve it through something such as knockdown bollards. That would ensure that the concerns of the neighbors was addressed as far as not allowing through traffic, but still allowing emergency access in light of the concerns of the city. Madam Chairperson, it was then suggested, and the landowners wholeheartedly agreed, to convene a public meeting in June. That again was at the suggestion of several of the neighbors who at that time were having some discussion amongst one another and thought it would be a good idea for all of them to be able to share feedback together and hear directly from the landowners as to their thoughts. I was very pleased to organize that meeting, Madam Chairperson, in June. We were very fortunate to have a member of Civic Planning join us to help answer questions as far as how the planning process works at the city. And although there was no vote, or I would not attempt to say any consensus that evening, Madam Chairperson, I would say there was a very clear and strong discussion from the crowd, and I think that evening there was around 25 to 30 households represented, a very strong vocal support for having the cul-de-sac option that is not allowing through traffic on Geraldine. And it was very similar to what we'd heard in the written feedback in April. At the same time, there was a discussion again about lot sizes. Two or three gentlemen in particular that spoke out quite strongly and quite passionately about their thought that there should be a few fewer lots. In response to that, Madam Chairperson, our ownership group again went back to the drawing board in an attempt again to respond to the neighbors' concerns. There was a proposal drafted through the summer that shrunk the lots by two in order to come up with slightly larger lots that would be directly backing upon Bramble. That was done, Madam Chairperson. Additionally, in order to try to, if we could, achieve some sort of consensus, Madam Chairperson, you were kind enough, you'll remember, to attend and, in fact, host a meeting amongst the landowners and representatives of Civic Planning. Mr. Veach, I recall being there. I can't recall if anyone else was. But that was in an attempt to better understand and see if there was some common ground forward to address the concerns of our neighbors as we wanted to about through traffic, but also to be responsible and listen to and try to meet the needs of the city as far as their concerns over having emergency access and their concerns over the length of the cul-de-sac. After that, Madam Chairperson, we came back in September for a second public meeting, again inviting all of those neighbors that we'd been in contact at any time with through the spring and summer. And at that point, I think we had 20 to 25 households represented. This meeting was at Varsity View. At that time, Madam Chairperson, you were kind enough to be able to attend that night. My own recollection of that meeting, Madam Chairperson, is that there was certainly no consensus. There was a try to move things along. Thank you. There was no consensus at all, Madam Chairperson, amongst the different options that we had put on the drawing board there to talk about. Again, a lot of concerns over through traffic. We had the benefit, again, of representation from the city's public service that night, talking about traffic, emergency access, and planning. We left that meeting, Madam Chairperson, without a sense of a clear path forward. It is certainly the intent and the desire of the landowners to be able to put this land into production, to see the development and the construction of single-family residences, which we believe, again, will fit very nicely within the character of the existing community. We come forward, Madam Chairperson, acknowledging that there was, in fact, the growth of the lot sizes in order to bring things into what we would submit, Madam Chairperson, is very much within the current market and economics of the city of Winnipeg. That being many lots in the city now of new homes in nice neighborhoods, greenfield developments that are certainly within the realm of 40 to 50 foot frontages. We understand, Madam Chairperson, that over the decades, as Charleswood has grown, we have seen different waves of development. In our own case, right within maybe a few hundred meters of our property, we have seen lots that likely back in the 50s were developed on an estate size of much larger of what we're talking about now. Then again, when we heard at one of our meetings, it was our second public meeting, Madam Chairperson, that when other parts of Charleswood were developed, in particular, I would recall Bloomer Crescent, just a couple hundred meters to the east of us, that in fact is much smaller than what the original lots might say along Laxdal might be. Obviously 40 to 50 years span in the difference. And then right in the middle, we have neighbors, several of whom are here tonight, from Bramble. And at Bramble, the lot sizes you'll find are likely just about in between the larger lots that were settled in the 50s on Laxdal and the smaller lots that you would find on Bloomer Crescent. So with that, Madam Chairperson, we would again respectfully submit that what we're proposing tonight is very much within the current market conditions. We're very comfortable as well, Madam Chairperson, that the lot values we would be proposing would be at least the same level, if not higher, of what our neighbors' homes are. We've assembled data, Madam Chairperson, which we'll be happy to talk about later tonight, which we would submit show quite clearly that the homes which we hope would be constructed, should this subdivision and rezoning and variance be approved, that the homes there would be built would certainly be equal to or greater than the values of our neighbors.
Okay, I have a number of questions, so could I ask you to...
Please. Please jump in.
So in your opening comments now, you've mentioned consultations, and I believe there were two. What were the dates of your consultations with the community?
I don't have those dates on my speaking note, Madam Chairperson. I could check my calendar. It was approximately June 21.
Okay.
As far as the first meeting, the second meeting from memory, I think, was around September 20.
Okay. And after you had those consultations, a number of concerns were laid out by the community. What changed in your plan or in any of the designs that we see here, or layouts, I guess?
Right. The first significant change, Madam Chairperson, as I said, was bringing to that first meeting a redrafted lot plan which proposed a cul-de-sac that would not allow through traffic on Geraldine. That was the...
That's what you heard in the first meeting, then, first consultation.
Yes.
And at what point, it's here before us, but it's not recommended by the department, and we're going to hear from, I would imagine, the fire chief, since he's here. At what point did you learn this would not be recommended?
In fairness to the members of the public service, Madam Chairperson, I think going right back into the spring, the public service had made the point saying that they advised against and recommended, those are my words, but that they would recommend we looked at opening traffic. Having said that, because of the extremely strong and vocal concerns of our neighbors about through traffic, we did propose the cul-de-sac option at our June meeting. It was then at our July meeting, Madam Chairperson, where it became extremely clear, with no ambiguity, that the recommendation could not be supported, and I would say it was in those terms. The recommendation could not be supported from the public service going forward on the basis of the cul-de-sac.
From you said a July meeting. I thought the meetings were June and September.
The July meeting, Madam Chairperson, was here in the council building where we were able to come in. We met with yourself and Mr. Veach from Civic Planning. And that was the meeting we had to try to see if there was some way we could find kind of a common path forward. Resulting from the concerns we'd had at our June public meeting.
Okay. I have two different topics. What is the price point of these homes once they're built, and who are prospective builders that you're looking at putting homes in there?
There are no builders yet that I'm aware of, Madam Chairperson, that are signed up in any way, be it formal or informal. Certainly the market information that I have looked at, personally, Madam Chairperson, would suggest, and it's speculative, let me say that, because tonight we cannot say exactly how the homes would be outfitted, what kind of countertops, bathrooms, jacuzzi bathrooms on the ensuite, on and on. So there's tens of thousands of dollars of sway in any home as far as how it's outfitted to the taste of the owners. Having said that, Madam Chairperson, we are very comfortable tonight saying that the homes we are looking to have developed on these lands could easily be in the neighborhood of $500,000 to $600,000 as far as what we've looked at as far as brand new homes right now being built and being sold in Winnipeg in very good neighborhoods such as we're talking about here in Charleswood.
Okay, I'll save some more questions
for the end. If I might, Madam Chairperson, your question had a two-part answer when you asked me what had changed in response to the concerns we heard at our public meetings. The second and important thing, Madam Chairperson, that had changed as far as our lots proposal was that there was a reduction in two lots that was proposed in the cul-de-sac option. The drawings that were originally prepared and distributed had talked about, I think it was 25 lots, Madam Chairperson. The proposal that we came back with and are proposing now has reduced that to 23. And if I might, Madam Chairperson, some of the for what we heard from our meetings, which was very important, was for those lots which are backing in a parallel way onto the yards on Bramble. Those lots, Madam Chairperson, have been increased in size since the elimination of the two lots that had originally been proposed, and we again, that this was done in good faith, trying as best as possible to answer some of the concerns we'd heard from our neighbors.
Do you have any questions? No. Okay. Thank you, Brian.
And if I could, Madam Chairperson, just the last part of our public consultation, which I know was very important for our owners, was that 1 month ago there was one more round of letters sent out to everybody that we've been in contact with, just letting them know that we would be coming forward to this meeting, giving everybody notice if they were interested to be able to be with us here tonight, hoping that we can somehow, with the benefit of your wisdom, find a way that moves forward as best as possible. Thank you.
Okay, next up is Clark Culbertson. Clark? Yeah. Is Clark here? Just want to be recorded in support? Okay. Bob Eilers? Just recorded in support? Okay. Adam Scharf? Okay. Cheryl Scharf, Lauren Scharf, Bill McGarry, just recorded in support. Peter Appleton, recorded in support. Oh, come on up.
These guys are supporting me. Which one?
Both options.
Both options.
Yeah. And then I'll go to option one and then option two.
And then, so these are supporting both. Okay.
Yeah, this is the last of supporting both. Okay. Hi.
And I guess I live on 400 Laxdal, and it's a second-generation family home there. And my dad had come over. He was an immigrant, came to Canada, and purchased the land in 1957. That was during the first subdivide of that area from farmland. And, you know, at the time, they didn't have a whole lot of money. They saw a good opportunity in the investment of buying a little bit extra land. And my dad always was very proud of that extra land. He wanted to see some investment or build a new house on that land, etc. And, you know, he did. He's now passed away a couple years ago. But now that this opportunity comes up, we'd like to take advantage of it. Perhaps, you know, Adam's been very supportive of trying to coordinate a land swap deal where we can build a new house that's a little more updated than this 1957 house. And I think the lot sizes, like Brian was suggesting, they've started off, when my dad bought, there were 75 to 100-foot lots typically. And that was 1957. 86, I believe, was Bramble. That was probably about 60-foot lots. And now generally they're down to 40 to 50-foot. So I think that's very acceptable. And I think that's really all I have to say. I just
want to clarify then. So you're proposing to actually be living in this area?
Yes.
If it goes through?
I'd be interested in the opportunity to build a house on our excess land in the back, which would be fitting with the neighborhood, like Brian was suggesting, into, you know, the Eastland and the Brambles there. And, of course, it would be a modern house built in 2013, 14 or whatever. much more up-to-date than my house, 1957, maybe even Bramble Estates, where it's 1986. So I feel that it would benefit the neighborhood. Another thing is that when my dad was, you know, when the Brambles came into suggestion of developing that land, that the old Charleswood people would enjoy, like everybody does now, the deer coming through and everything else. In my recollection, there was a welcoming of Brambles into the area, and everybody got along and everything. And you know, I just see this as an extension of neighborhood development in a good way. And that's really all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? No. Thank you for coming out tonight. Okay, is there anyone else present who wishes to speak in support of both options? That's all we have registered. Okay. We have no one registered to speak in support of option one. Is there anyone present who did not register who wishes to speak in support of option one? Okay. In support of option two, I have Donna Thorderson. Did you wish to speak, Donna? No, just be recorded. Okay.
After this, we could read these into the record.
Okay. John Friesen. Hi there.
Thank you. My name is John Friesen. I live at 298 Scottsdale Drive, and I own the property at 340 Laxdale. And I'm supportive of the development in question, but I am only in support of option two of that development, as it allows for more orderly development of future lots down heading north off of what would be the extension of Geraldine. In fact, option one would negatively impact the value of my property, as the right-of-way doesn't align. It aligns across two pieces of property, which make development more difficult down the road. And if Geraldine doesn't go through, it may also limit the length of a cul-de-sac that could be done at that side. So for those reasons, I'm supportive of option two, but not option one.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you. Abe Friesen. And after Abe Friesen is Belinda Dunlop.
Hello, my name is Abe Friesen. I live at 131 Avril Lane. I'm here on behalf of Stratfield Properties, who has been asked to speak on behalf of another landowner immediately to the north of this subject application or development by the name of Mervyn Craker. And I attached the letter or gave you a letter for that. We are basically, on behalf of Mr. Craker and also Stratfield Properties, are in favor of option two only, and for the primary reason that option one could negatively affect our ability to develop further north because of the length of cul-de-sac that would be created or total number of homes in the area or in the cul-de-sac. We're not so sure that the concerns about traffic are really valid. as far as from the Bramble residents, I think, in fact, my opinion would be that they're going to benefit from being able to take a shortcut to the village, to all the businesses down in the north, which I think you'll find them using more than the residents on the new cul-de-sac will be using down Bramble. So, secondly, or lastly, I would say that we sometimes are very critical of the city not having vision and proper planning. In this particular case, we believe they had some planning, and that's why Geraldine was extended partially, and that we should stay with the plan and not compromise. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions? No? Okay, thank you. Thank you. All right. Yeah. Belinda Dunlop, are you here? Hi.
Hi, good evening. Didn't come prepared to speak tonight, but my name is Belinda Dunlop. This is my husband, Lyle Dunlop. We live at 391 Laxdal Road, and I think it was Brian was the developer. He mentioned that there's been a lot of talk in the community. We've only just become aware of this proposed development, just going for walks in the last couple of weeks, but with a big notice board. We're in support of option two only, because we don't mind the opportunity for development in our community, but we are concerned that by closing off the opportunity for through traffic is that we're going to have too much or excessive traffic on Laxdal, as it'll be the only way to enter that new community. We're a young family. We have, you know, two little ones at home. There is the school at the end. It's already a very busy street. So my concern is we're going to end up being like Haney, where they're going to need the speed bumps so that we don't have that much more people coming through and making it potentially dangerous for some of the kids that are in our area. That's probably the main thing. So I guess we're just wondering then what would happen after this for communications.
What would happen if we approved?
Like, we have voiced our concern now.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we've been heard, but how do we stay in communication so that we know where things are going to go from here?
Does part of this go to PND and can they appeal?
Well, since you're making a decision today on. We're making a decision today on.
You're making a decision?
Well, today or. Yeah, I guess you could have a layover of such, but.
As of one or the two options or not at all?
Yeah, or some conditions could be put on one or the other option.
Okay.
There's an appeal process where any decision made here could be appealed. Just for the variance portion. Like there's two portions to this. And one portion goes to PND, doesn't it? The subdivision will go to PND, the property committee, at which point you could go and appear in delegation there and be heard.
So do we just need to watch for possibly more notice signs in our community?
I'm not sure if there would be more postings.
Public representations are concluded.
No. The clerk says no.
Okay, well, I think that's...
Yeah, that's basically it. Again, just to reiterate the point, a lot of people do... circumvent the William Clement Parkway to use Laxdal to speed up and down there. And I mean, 23 more houses that are 600, 700,000, I'm guessing they're each going to have two or three cars. That's going to be that much more traffic on Laxdal. And I feel for the people on Bramble not wanting that through fare, but I think it's unfortunate that we'd have to take that brunt on Laxdal.
Okay. I believe Councillor Fielding has a question for you.
So once you're obviously in Laxdal, so you're saying you'd prefer
somewhat
support the development.
Yeah.
You'd prefer going
Geraldine
all the way through as opposed
through.
To just coming off Laxdal because you feel that there'll
be
more traffic impacted through Laxdal.
That's 50 more cars exiting and entering.
But you do
the
support
the cul-de-sac daily.
Yeah, and there's two options. You're saying you support the second option.
People can access from both ends.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just one more thing. The clerk just advises me, everybody who's registered here will receive some communication about the decision and the outcome today.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, that concludes the number of the people I have recorded in support of option two. Is there anyone else present who wishes to speak on option two, in support of option two? Okay. Okay, we have a number of people not in attendance who wish to be recorded in support of option two. We have Alan and Linda Hansen, Marlene and Warren West, Judy and Nick Perry. All right. We have 35 people in opposition to both. So I'm going to start with Scott Lougheed, because I know that you have been the leader of some community discussions.
Good evening. I'm going to try to be brief. I've been sort of selected by the Bramble Salmons Homeowners Association to represent. It's a loosely formed group. We get together when there's a major issue on the horizon. Our response to this developer's plan to subdivide and rezone adjacent lands must address several issues. First of all, it needs to be said, and this will probably surprise some people, we are not actively against development. We're not tree huggers wanting a deer sanctuary or some sort of a squirrel habitat. That's not what we're here for. What we want is we want lot sizes and property values to accurately reflect what we have on Bramble and the larger estate people on Laxdal as well. Furthermore, I'm kind of winging it here to be brief, what we are finding is that there's an overwhelming lack of support for option one. Option one was never dreamt up by Bramble people. It was part of the consultant process. I'm a little angry at him right now because he went about as close to the edge of the truth as he possibly could. Having said that, option one with the walkway, I don't think most people on Bramble, there are a few, granted, that aren't crazy about the traffic going through, but if it meets the long-term plans of the city, this is not for us to stand in the way of. Our argument is strictly on the lot sizes. In some cases, the lot sizes proposed by the developer back in option one were as narrow as 40 feet. In option two, they run as low as about 45 feet. The square footage of the lots was about 5440 by my calculations. I may be slightly off. These lots were, in fact, so small that the developer, even in option two, is actually asking for a further variance, if I read the city's document, which is ponderous and long. They cannot even comply with the city's new R1L. As it stands now. Surrounded by existing development, we feel that there has to be a greater emphasis on this development fitting in. Now, there's a lot of talk that's been bandied about, oh, we're fitting in, we're going to have such nice homes. Well, you cannot put a home my size. I went out and measured it in the freezing cold with a tape measure the other day, and it's 54 feet wide. You can't put that house on a 50-foot lot. Most of the houses on Bramble are actually too wide to fit on a 50-foot lot. They're not going to be comparable homes. And I know they've increased construction standards and they have front-to-back splits and that sort of thing. But really, what we're talking about is really small lots and houses that will not have the Charleswood effect, which is lots that are houses a little bit inside their property lines. They're going to be eavestrough to eavestrough, cheek to jowl, as I like to say. The developer will try to tell you, as he tried to tell us earlier, that in the consultative meetings, the home values would not be affected by neighboring properties and that the science of determining market values in such cases is inconclusive. Poppycock. Any real estate agent will tell you that if your 65-foot backyard is dominated by not one but two houses on shallow lots set so far back because the pie shape that looked pretty good on paper ends up being too skinny to set the house anywhere near the front, then your house has just gone down in value overnight. It's common sense. Nevertheless, let it be said again, we're not anti-development. I also want to go in saying that those people, I'm not in any way, shape, or form against those people that have sold their land to the developer or are part of the development group. That is not it at all. I understand the free enterprise system. I've made my living on the back of capitalism. It's a system that works for the most part, but we do need checks and balances. I have developed a poster, which I want to talk about a little bit. I'm skipping through here. Option one, as far as we're concerned, obviously, I can read the obvious between the lines. Option one's a dead duck, so let's not beat it to death anymore. Option two. This is option two as proposed by the developer. It was based on 24 lots. They went from 23 lots. And actual, the actual truth here is they went from 25 lots on the first one, which I think was a plan just floated out there to enrage us. Then they went to 23 lots with the walkway. And yet, strangely enough, when they put the street through, they still managed to find room for 24. Now, we universally abhor this plan. I can't stress it enough. It creates backyards on a lot of Bramble that are at side angles. Now, if you just think about that for a second, you're going to be looking at someone's side of stucco. You're not going to have backyard to backyard where you're going to have a feeling of some space. It changes the orientation of your house entirely. What we came up with, just to show that there is a potential for compromise here, and I need it strictly for this is a plan that I came up with just by looking at the original development overall size and specs of marking this thing out. I'm accurate to say I'd probably say about 0.1 or 0.2 of a meter. It now consists of 21 lots. It's when we were asked for our input, at no point did the consultant ever say, well, have you got some money? Have you got some money? We all said, we want bigger lots. I said a couple of times, you know.
You know what? Scott, it's not recording you when you speak.
If we had, sorry about that.
Can
if
we look had, at that? Can you bring that one here? That's a different option, right? What you've got up there with 21 lots? You're on the easel.
On the easel?
Yeah. Have you got 21 lots on here?
I don't know what you mean.
Your poster board.
Oh, just put it on the easel?
Just give it to the clerk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll look at it as you talk at the in the microphone.
What happens is, this is an interesting compromise that I came up with. I think if the developer really did want to work with us, we would certainly not, not work with them. We certainly would. It does give the developer 10 lots that average about 50 or 52 feet. It also gives 10 lots or 11 lots that are on the pie that are larger. They angle back nicely. It's interesting that one of the gentlemen, very nice chap actually, who is selling his land, I don't recall his name offhand, but he's picked out one of the larger lots, which just illustrates my point, is that when push comes to shove, people will buy the largest lot. So we're not really changing a lot here. We're dropping 3 lots, and you've got a compromise that could fly. The reason we've said universally no to this proposal is because we have to. We've been pushed up to this point, and if we don't say no, if we don't get you guys to delay this and to go back for further consultation, we're sunk. If option one or option two is approved right now, then the building starts. Question.
So just a question. So basically what you're proposing here is 14 lots instead of 20.
No, 21. 21.
No, 21 instead of 24.
21 instead of 24.
So basically, Scott, you've changed these guys.
Yeah. There's 2 that are on the straight that are actually 60-foot frontages. They had to be. They're on the straight. Then, but it lines up more with the backyards on Bramble.
Yeah.
Then they start to angle. And I love pie lots. I think they're great. But provided you have enough frontage. I heard a little rumor the other day that they're having to actually haul snow away from some parts of White Ridge and that because they don't have enough room in these cirques to actually pile it anywhere. And that's an additional cost. I thought that was a funny little story. Not very funny for the city, I'm sure, but if these pie lots are the same diameter as what Bramble Close is done at, which is 10.7, and these are 10 to 10.5, they're close enough that you could get away with it. I put a fair amount of time into it. I'm not saying that it's the be-all, end-all, but it, at least to me, that's a consultative process. Now, as far as new homes and how big new homes are in construction methods, all I have to say to that is that this is infill. It's trying to fit in. The home should be a little bit bigger. I don't think we should be targeting for starter homes for people. I've had a starter home. You guys have all had starter homes. I started out in a Qualico development on Woodfield Bay. I loved it. It was great. It did what I needed it to do. You're going to have Ridgewood South, which is going to be a real fun controversy for you guys, but I'm sure it'll go through eventually. And there you can set up 38 and 40-foot frontages and shallower lots, And nobody's going to object because your farmers field on one side and very little on the other. At least I hope you don't get too much flack. Anyway, I'm pretty much done.
Okay, well, we have some more questions for you. So.
Fire away.
Okay, so just a quick question. So, you know, I was dazzled by your diagram, so I just didn't hear everything you said. But so did you bring this to the consultation session that came in? Like, there's two consultation sessions that happened, right, with the developer?
Yeah.
So did you bring this to that consultation session, or is this the first they've seen of this?
There was one that I handed Adam at the end of the first meeting. Now, there was one plan I mentioned that was very, very skinny lots, strange configuration. Then we had a meeting at the Varsity View Community Club, dates of which I have no doubt to contradict what the other fellow said, but that was roughly the day. It was in the summer. And at that point, it was quite an animated meeting, and at that point I had looked at this plan and I then said, you know, if you took out a few of these lots. Now, whether he remembers that or not, I don't know, but basically I got the feeling throughout this process that, you know, tell us your input, but in actual fact, it always came back to justifying. It was always a justification process. These are the size of lots we want, and this is why, and, oh, we're so concerned, but at the end of the day, this is what you're going to get. So I don't really feel, I'm a little angry about it, actually, because I started out in the process, and all of us, how many people here are basically in support of my position? I'm going to do something a little unusual. Okay. Yeah, I was asked once, actually. I wouldn't want your job for all the tea in China. This is where people live, and that's a tough one.
No, it is. And people have been very passionate about that. That was my observation in the public consultation that I attended. So, yeah.
I'll hire myself out for consultation purposes.
This is good.
I don't have a question. I just have a comment.
Anyway, I have copies of this rough. I winged a little bit, but I have copies of this if you're interested. Just for the record.
Yeah. Okay, Councillor Nordman?
Yeah, I just have one comment. Having been a former neighbor of Scott's on Woodfield Bay, we've known each other for a very long time. And prior to that, your teachers at Westwood Collegiate will be very proud of you today.
Oh, thank you.
Good job.
I don't think there's anything else.
Okay.
Thank you, Scott. We're going to keep it, yeah, he's fine. Okay, I've also got Clifford Lahey. Did you wish to speak or be recorded in support of?
Okay.
Yeah, it's not recording you if you're up there speaking, though. Okay, thank you.
Proud Papa.
Lucille Becker, did you wish to speak? Okay, but you're in support of what was you're in opposition of both options. Are you in support of what Scott presented? Okay, Ed Kostanuk, where are you? Oh, hi. Just recorded, or you wish to? Okay, Karen Robinson. Okay, Carla Earle. Brian Earle? Okay, but you want to be recorded in opposition to both options? Come speak. Okay. After him is Gary Fransman. Are you here? Did you wish to speak, sir? No. Okay, yes. We're going to ask him that publicly. Okay. Who's coming here? Hi there. If you could state your name and address for the recording.
I'm Brian Earle, and my address is 380 Laxdal Road. And I do have a letter and some documents I'd like to submit at this time.
Okay.
I just have a few comments about the public consultation process before I kind of get into some of my other points. It was noted that adequate notice was given to many of the neighboring residents in the area. My property actually borders the developed area on two sides, and I actually wasn't given notice of the first meeting until 2 days prior, and it was actually out of courtesy of one of my neighbors who happens to be in support of the development. So there wasn't, I guess, a complete communication in terms of those public consultation meetings, and so I don't think there was opportunity for fair representation from the people that would be affected by that. In addition, I guess I also haven't had a chance to review the plan that was just submitted here, so I can't say that I am that I would support that that plan. So I'm going to register myself in opposition to both plans. When my wife and I were considering places to live in within Winnipeg, we were drawn to the Charleswood area due to the large tree lots, green space, and country feel. Had we desired to live in a new development neighborhood with small lots and tight spacing between homes, we would have chosen one of the many already existing developments within Winnipeg. We understood that the tree lot between Bramble and Laxdal may someday be developed, but that any development should retain the character and existing standards for the neighborhood. So I guess we would also feel that we're not necessarily opposed to overall development, but just that something would be, you know, consistent with the feel of the community. Now, in talking with the City Planning Department, I was told that the variance application could be approved if the proposed development meets the following criteria. And I just wish to reiterate these. I understand that those present know what these criteria are, but I just like to say them for those that are present here. And that is that the plan should be consistent with Plan Winnipeg and any other applicable secondary plan. It should not create substantial adverse effects on the amenities, use, safety, and convenience of the adjoining property and adjacent area. It should be a minimum modification of the zoning bylaw required to relieve injurious effect on the applicant, and it should be compatible with the area in which the property to be affected is situated. And I believe there are several reasons that show the development application does not satisfy these criteria, and therefore it should not be approved. To reference the Plan Winnipeg document, which I guess was replaced by a document called Complete Communities, there is a section there that states when new development occurs in areas of stability, which they mean existing residential neighborhoods, that it should be contextually suitable and enhance and celebrate what makes them unique. And I believe that the existing large lots of the area are not celebrated or enhanced by infilling the neighborhood with lots that have both smaller width and average area than the neighboring lots. Now, just a bit of history, I guess, on the development. In 1997, variance was sought by Riverside Realty to develop a smaller portion of the land that is proposed for development today. The plan proposed at that time is similar to option two, minus the cul-de-sac. The 1997 application was rejected, and I have the paperwork there, on the grounds that the majority of the residents were opposed to the application, which I believe we have here today. The application was inconsistent with developments in the surrounding area, and the application did not meet the statutory criteria in the City of Winnipeg Act. It should be the application being considered today proposes lots which are smaller in width and average area than required by the city bylaw and are also smaller than the ones that were previously considered in 1997. This marks a step backwards from the previous application and is therefore more inconsistent with developments in the surrounding area and does not represent a minimum modification of the zoning bylaw required to relieve injurious effect. Given this past precedence and the previous application, I do not see how the Assiniboia Community Committee can justify that the development satisfies the variance criteria necessary for approval, and therefore the application should not be approved. I do have a few other comments, but I guess just to speed things up, I won't speak to those right now, but they are recorded in the letter I sent in. Thank you.
Hi there.
And I've lived at 74 Bramble Drive since 1988, and I have been at some of these meetings and received correspondence about this development for about a year. The reason we bought on Bramble was, for one thing, the large lots, and we always knew this property across the street was going to be developed someday, and hoped that it would be in equally lot size and a proper development. The developer now wants to shoehorn 24 lots into this property. The lot lines don't line up with the houses on Bramble. In some cases, the residents on Bramble will have a side view of the homes. The property values will suffer. I have reviewed Scott Lougheed's plan with 21 lots, and are prepared to support that. It lines up lot values. 21 lots seems a much, much better fit for that property than 24 lots that the developers proposed. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
So I just want to clarify that, yes. Mr. Franzman, you're noted in opposition to both options, yet
yes.
You seem supportive of the one with the 21.
That's right.
Okay.
The Bramble thoroughfares. Yeah. Mainly it's those lots are going to be developed. The thoroughfare on Geraldine, I know it's good and bad, I guess, but the size of the lots is the main issue here.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
What is this saying? Sorry, Greg, is it Denkley? Okay. Paul Metcalf? And then after him is Elizabeth Carter. Sorry? You wish to be noted in opposition to both options then? Are you in support of the 21 lot option? Okay.
My name is Paul Metcalf. I live on 93 Salmons, which is actually a little bit removed from this by one street. But we are connected to Bramble, and Geraldine is one of our corners. Personally, I think Geraldine going through city planning is a good idea. I was opposed to the first two plans because behind me there are pie-shaped lots on Bramble. But they do work because even though I look at the size of the houses, they're far enough forward that trees grow whatever, so it's not that bad. If you were to get an aerial view of that area of Charleswood, to me it's just, if the lots are too small, it's just going to look like somebody dumped a whole bunch of homes in a small area instead of being in line with the plans. So I think the new proposal is a good one. I didn't see it till tonight. But and everybody's kind of given anyways, because 52 lots, mine's 64. So the city's getting smaller, but it doesn't have to be in this area. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. W. Litchfield? You'd like to be registered in opposition of... Okay. And you have seen his plan, or you haven't?
I haven't seen it, and that's why I didn't see it.
Okay. Okay. Aurelio Baroni? Yes.
I'm curious as to why you asked. For an alternative, however,
because a number of people clapped when this item came up, so I'm trying to discern how many people seem supportive of that or how many people are just flat out in opposition of even this proposal. So that's why I'm trying to discern that as I ask you. And it's a bit confusing because we have two options here. So that's not an option. This is somewhat a modified option two, I believe. Is it? Yeah. So, well, again, it's a modified version of option two. And at this committee, we can make modifications to what's been presented. We can put conditions on certain things. So that's why I'm checking. So if there's a middle ground here, I'd like to find it. That's why. Okay. Ken Peters? Yeah. Is he coming? After him is Vula Karlaftis. Are you here?
Good evening.
Hi.
My name is Ken Peters. I live at 314 Locksdale Road. I bought the house in 1986, and I've lived there since. Back as the previous speaker was talking about the 1997 proposal, that was adamantly beaten because of the way that the lots were designed and also the traffic that was allowed on Locksdale. That has not improved. It has gotten worse. Locksdale now has, I believe, over 4,000 vehicles a day on a residential street that's only supposed to have 1,500. There's also three access streets already in the short stretch between Dublin and Grant. So I'm against both proposals because of the access street onto Locksdale. I haven't seen Scott's proposal, so I can't say whether I'm for it or not, but I'm for any access street onto Locksdale from development. Not against the development at all, but I'm against access street onto Locksdale, which will give us more traffic on there. That street has become ridiculously busy, unsafe. We have many times phoned the police department to come down and have people get tickets for going through the stop signs. They come up at 2:30 in the afternoon when there's no traffic, not in the early mornings or in the evenings when all this illegal speeding is happening. So that's all basically I wanted to say. And I was there when, in 1997, when Bill Clement squashed this first development. And he said back then it was not going to be allowed until the Charleswood Parkway Bridge, now called the William Clement Bridge, got extended to Grant. Since then, the traffic flow has not eased up because a lot of people have found by going through Locksdale, instead of four traffic lights that stop you at Roblin, at Grant, at Haney, and again at Locksdale. So there's four sets of traffic lights that they can avoid by going down Locksdale. And so that has kept the traffic flow very high there. And that's basically why I'm against it. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Jason and Amanda Ward. After them is Daniel Menes. Are you here? Did you wish to speak, sir? Okay. Hi there.
Good evening. Thank you for seeing us tonight. A little nervous, first time I've done this in front of a big group, so.
Should be exciting. We won't bite.
the sentiments that we want to share tonight are probably reiterating a lot of what you've heard already, but I think it is worth hearing again just to highlight the importance of what the Charleswood community means to the people that live there. My name is Jason. It's my wife, Amanda. We live at 3630 Bachelor, which is actually just north of the subdivision that joins Haney and Laxdal. So our backyard would, back onto potentially the next couple of phases of development within the area that the city has outlined in the shadow plan for that section. One of our biggest concerns in this whole process is, like the other person that was in here earlier, the first time we heard about this development in talking with your neighbors was the sign that went up on the city-owned property on Laxdal. And so that kind of begs the question that we're not that far. I travel on Haney and Laxdal every day to get to work, knowing how narrow those roads are. Right now, with the snow, we actually only have 3 tire grooves going down Haney. So when 2 cars pass, you're both kind of going into the snow-covered medians just so you can pass each other. And that's with the current level of traffic. So if the city speculates that you're going to add an extra 225 cars traveling there per day, which is what the city study indicated for traffic counts, that's a heck of a lot of traffic going through on 2 streets that are already very overcrowded. I believe we're in support of neither option. We haven't had a chance to look at Scott's option. But I think we both feel that we don't believe the neighborhood can handle the size of subdivision that they're trying to put in here. Lot size is also a big concern. If you want to keep within the neighborhood of Charleswood, we live there because it's a country feel. We live there because the lot sizes are conducive to older trees growing in the area. The area that we're talking about has been forested for probably close to 100 years now. Those weren't man-planted trees. That's natural vegetation. You can't tell me that a 40-foot lot, you can plant natural vegetation that's still going to give you that country feel in a neighborhood that promotes a country feeling. The other thing I'd be very curious to find out, they said the sewer and water can support a new subdivision coming in. And let's be honest, this is the first phase of this subdivision. This isn't going to be the end-all to be-all. They're making provisions to go north. The city already has a laid-out plan as to what it should look like headed north. And we're not talking 24 houses or 23 or 21 houses. In the end, we're probably going to be talking of a couple hundred houses in that back area. So it's important to consider that beyond what we're looking at today. Can the city sewer and water system handle that increased growth when a development that William Clement was part of that was going to go up in Dieppe was turned down, one of the reasons being the current system could not provide the water designated for that Dieppe development, and the sewer system could not handle the outflow of that development. So what's changed? I don't remember Grant being torn up and a new sewer system being put in. The other thing that's important to consider is that by removing these trees and removing this natural area, you're now removing part of the drainage system that our area counts on that's not going into storm systems. You put a development in, you're now putting roadways in that are going to be tied into a tax sewer system and a tax drainage system, and you're not allowing the natural water flow to be absorbed back into the land, which now means you could have a potential for backups in our basements. So, and as we said earlier, with the limited scope of the neighbor for this thing, we continue to stress how disappointed we are that we weren't, they were finding out about the meetings in June and September and July and the summer now. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Adele Mena? No, just recorded in opposition to both. Okay.
Glenda Werbowski? You're in support of the... Okay. Ron Wallace? Ron Wallace? Sorry? Okay. Pat Wallace? Linda Catio? Yes. Cynthia Duncan? Okay. Krista and Richard Martis? Marty? Okay, come on down. Mark Tote? After these.
Okay. One more to go.
Oh. Ten in opposition. And three for information. And then here's for all. Any questions for me?
I had some. Do you need the report? Okay. Sorry, I'm very nervous.
Is somebody using this whole screen set?
Yeah.
Oh, Danielle, put the mic down.
Sorry, I'm short. Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
My name is Krista Martis, and I'm here on behalf of myself and my husband, who is not present right now. We live at 324 Loxdale Road, and I just want to start by again saying that I was quite disappointed in having never been invited to or made notice of any public hearings or open houses in regards to this topic. I only found out when I was out for a walk with my kids and saw the sign for this hearing when I read it and then started looking into the situation. We live at 324 Loxdale, like I said. Our backyard will border what will be, I'm sure, in future considerations for development. And I would like to just state that we are very much opposed to the options that have been so far presented. But like many people here today, it's not that we're opposed to the general idea of development, just as it's being presented today and with the variants that they're wanting to consider. The main reasons why we are opposed right now is basically lot size. Similar to what other people are saying, we don't feel that what's being proposed is consistent with the feel of the neighborhood. We chose to live here because we liked the feeling of sort of mixed housing. You know, the houses don't look the same. We have the big lots, the trees, the ditches. So that drew us into the community. We like that the forested areas and the green spaces really do provide a lot of learning experiences for our children who can go back there and sort of muck around in nature and gain all the valuable things that you can from doing that. So we would like to, or I would like to say that if there is development, we would ask that it sort of sticks with the current norm. And in the report that was presented, they're saying that currently, right now, lot sizes are about 67 feet wide, and the current proposals are under 40, which we don't find to be acceptable and in fitting with the current feel of the neighborhood. So we do not agree with any variances that are suggested for this as well. The other thing that we would like to mention is, again, our concern for the impact it'll have on the traffic. We were a bit curious as to why there hadn't been an assessment, a traffic flow assessment or a traffic impact assessment done. Loxdale has currently an elementary school on it. It has a community center, which also has a nursery school in it. There is a very high level of traffic flow. Many of times it is in excess of the 50 kilometers an hour. Our house happens to be right in front of the stop sign at Parkin. and I can count more times when people fail to stop at that stop sign than when they do. So I would just think that there should have been some consideration to the traffic flow, and I think that it is completely inappropriate for all traffic to come just onto Laxdal, should any of these be considered. The other concern that we do have is about what this might mean to our property values. I know from a personal and an emotional attachment to our property, I like that I don't stare at stucco and asphalt buildings. That to me is nice, but I'm concerned about what impact this might actually have on our property taxes, whether that's going to have, if they're putting $600,000 homes up in a neighborhood that's not surrounded by $600,000 homes, if this is going to impact our property taxes. And the other mention was touched on a while is the drainage. I don't know if any of you have experienced that area right now, but in the springtime, it is always very saturated with water, and it does provide a relief for much of the snowmelt that's in the area. I'm concerned that by removing the vegetation completely to put in a subdivision that really has not included any consideration for green spaces, parks, or any natural vegetation that might continue to act as drainage support, I'm just concerned about what that is going to mean to our homes and into flooding. So I think, again, I would just like to state I've got other points that are probably written better than I am speaking right now in the report that I've submitted to you, but myself and my husband are opposed to the current proposals for development as it stands now, but would be willing to readdress the issue if there were some considerations to traffic control, to lot sizes, and to the vegetation drainage system. And I hope that if this is not approved and there are further discussions, that there is more attempt to reach out to more people in the community that will be affected by this so that we can all be present in the open houses and discussions and maybe alleviate some of the need to come down here and have all our concerns. Thanks.
Thanks, Kristen. Okay. Mark Tote? Hi.
I'm Mark Tote from 377 Laxdal. I think a lot of things that have already been said, like drainage, country feel is where I stand as well. I was born and raised in the country, and Charleswood is unique that way, where it feels like kind of where I'm from. And I like having deer and owls and all sorts of creatures running around. I'm not a tree hugger, like as Scott might have mentioned. I believe in development as well, but there are some things that we like need to ask. First of all these plans, they have the access from Laxdal Road, and Geraldine is either cut off on the one, or it's a walking, or it's a through access. And why Geraldine actually already has an existing road there in place. So I'm asking, why are the plans have to go through Laxdal? As many people mentioned already, Laxdal is a very busy road, as we already know. Like, there's people flying down there all the time. Neighbors seen a deer get smoked a few times. Like, it's really quite it's quite dangerous for kids, and like the previous speaker said, there's a community center, there's a school and a daycare down there, and 24 new lots are just going to congest that even more. So if a plan does go ahead, use that existing Geraldine access road and don't have access from Laxdal. And then the traffic down Laxdal is at least not worsened by that. Like I said, most people have already gone over what I've my thoughts are. In 97, I know Bill Clement was around, and the two things in the meeting as well were the majority of neighboring residents are opposed. There was actually a 27-page petition that they put together in 1997. And the application, the other thing they had mentioned, the application is inconsistent with developments in surrounding areas. So I ask you, has the developer actually created larger lots? No. In 97, they're actually bigger than the ones they're proposing now. So it doesn't really make sense to pass this now. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Phil Cesario, did you wish to speak? Okay. Thank you. What does this say? Ryan? I'm sorry, I'm not sure if it's Ryan Ashte or at 373 Laxta. Sorry?
It's Van.
Oh, Van. Yeah, okay. Sorry about that. Did you wish to speak, sir? Okay. Next is Charles Carter. Okay. Lois Fortier?
Yeah, I also oppose both options, and Bill will need to speak I'm also a
Okay. Thank you. Good evening.
My name is Ramey Vanak, and I live at 373 Laxdale, right across where they oppose to put the access into this new development. And as far as any meetings or anything were ever said, I've talked to most of my older neighbors that are living here well when they had the first one, and none of them knew anything about this proposal. And I've never heard about it, never heard of any meetings being planned, or never got any phone calls or anybody knocking on my door telling me about this. Now, when I moved in 2000, that was just before the last one proposal to put houses in that back property was done, where it was refused. I have a copy of the proposal, and speaking to a lot of the older neighbors at the time when it was put in, rejected, there was also a 25-year memorial put on not building in that area, which was told to me by these other people that lived there. Now, what happened to that, I don't know. I have this refusal that they had in April 21st, 1998. So there's nowhere the 25 years has been up yet. It's only about 15 years. So there's still another 10 years. But I don't want to see any access onto Laxdale whatsoever. I used to park my truck on the street to slow down the traffic overnight and during the day when I was home. I've had my windshield broken. I've had several side windows broken. I've had pizzas thrown in my windshield by people that are driving down these streets. And you go to that stop signs, there's no control over there at all. They just fly through those stop signs. They don't even look. Doesn't matter which way they're coming from, whether they're coming off of Perkins or the other one a little further down. They just come through. They don't look. I know several times if I hadn't been watching and stopped at the stop sign, I would have got nailed if I had gone when I was supposed to go. And several times I come home, I get passed by cars that are in such a hurry they can't take 2 minutes to run down a street where there's children, where there's community clubs. This is not a good thing, to put more traffic where they don't respect the traffic at all. They don't respect it now, so what are they going to do? Put another 200 cars out there, 300 cars down there a day? It's not going to work. And that's all I got to say. And I enjoy the wildlife and all the other amenities, and that's one reason I bought there, because of the size lot. I've got a tree in my backyard that must have been over 200 years old. It is one of the biggest trees on the street. If you take a tape measure and you go around the bottom of it, it's 14 feet around. Now, that's a pretty sizable trunk on a tree. It didn't grow there overnight. So lot sizes have to be one of the considerations. And if you look at this proposal that was rejected the first time with all the names, and then also the gentleman was saying that we were notified, and the only notification I got was when they put up that sign when I came home from work one day, it was standing there. I knew nothing of these other meetings, otherwise I would have went to them as well. Anyways, that's all I have to say. And I hope this proposal doesn't go through.
Okay, thank you. I think we're just going to take about a five-minute break here, if that's okay. Just to...
Bio break.
Yeah. You just email, yeah. We'll call the meeting back to order. If I could call Joseph Harding, did you wish to speak? Next up is Jeanette Martin. Did you wish to speak or be recorded? You don't agree with either option? Oh. Opposed to both. Okay. Cliff Valentine, are you here? Did you wish to speak?
No.
Okay. And Brent Lyons? Okay. Okay, so Joseph Harding?
Yes.
If you could maybe just add new information at this point.
I'll be very brief.
Okay.
So I live on 69 Salmons Crescent in the same area. And just a very brief story, and then I'll leave everyone because it's getting late. But I've moved now. This is my eighth posting, and been 23 years in the military, and this is house number four for me, so we're used to the routine. We traditionally have 4 days to pick a home, and of all the people I've lived in Winnipeg, I was told tuxedo if you can afford it, which I can't, and Charleswood. I looked at every neighborhood possible. I looked at the big homes down south that touch each other, and I've looked at this one. I've got two young children, and the value of that area is the community. We celebrate 25 years of Bramble Estates. Of course, I wasn't there, but I went to the party. And I think the idea of the deer and that environment is what attracts people to it. However, I do understand the realities of people selling homes. I found this the most difficult market to buy a home in, judging the overbiddings for homes. I paid too much money, I believe, for the house. And as a result of that, and the property taxes in the area now go up for everyone else, and I move on in 2 years. So I think it's a difficult thing. Had that area never been developed, I understand people own the property, but I saw the same thing happen in Kingston, Ontario, the same best intentions, what we call in the military mission creep, and as a result now, if you were to look at that area, I'm very disappointed for what was a beautiful area with green space, creeks, and a nice balance. However, that's the reality of life, so I'm opposed to both the options. I'm actually opposed to any development in the area, but again, there's also laws and rules that have to follow. Any questions?
Just a comment. Glad yes. You're living in Charleswood, and what Pardon you me? Hear is correct. Glad you're living in Charleswood, yes. And what you hear is correct. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Brent Lyons? Welcome.
Hello. I'm Brent Lyons. I live at 355 Laxdal, so I am very close to the east entrance to this area. And I moved there a year ago, November 1st. We chose this area. I'm transferred in with the federal government, like the last speaker, and I had about 26 hours out of Regina by road to get in and get my buying done. We were all over the city and saw 12 in a day. And we chose where we are. We chose it for the character. That character can be changed easily by ramming in too many houses, too close together, on too small lots. And I think both of these proposals are not dangerously close to that. They're way over the line. It's changing the character of the neighborhood. It's been spoken against here already tonight a number of times. This kind of development's been refused before because it's changing the character of the neighborhood. I'm opposed to either plan. I'm not opposed to development as such, but I think that both of these plans are flawed. It's very bad planning, very bad indeed, to plan one exit. Very bad. We have had an incident right where I live where there was a very unfortunate, seriously incompetent truck driver who I believe backed into a power pole, broke it off, broke three other poles off. I called the fire department in because I was outside with my neighbor. We weren't under lines, but we were close, and we saw them whip, and we knew what he did. And I didn't have power until about 1 o'clock in the morning. I had to persuade the police to let me back into my place from the south. I knew exactly what I was doing. I wasn't going to interfere with power. And so you don't plan something where you've got one exit. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't do that. And there's another matter here I think council should be very aware of, that you were misled here tonight by the developer. He said he informed the neighborhood, the people close around. Well, how close do you have to be? There are people that border right on this development that have stood here tonight and said they weren't informed. They knew when the sign went up. I've been there for more than a year. I went out in the morning, came downtown, and at 6:15 in the morning, the sign wasn't there. At 5:45 that night, it was there. That's the first time we knew a thing about it. And all these other meetings are going on. So he never informed people on the Laxdal side. We didn't know a thing about it. We couldn't participate in anything. I'm suggesting that because of that, that council should delay this and give an opportunity for proper consultation to the entire community, not 30 days, under 30 days through Christmas break. My neighbor next to me had holidays planned and is in Hawaii today. Couldn't possibly have any representation here. So, given that you've been misled, and there are people who haven't had an opportunity to consider this and give their input, and I'm on one of the old places that has a big lot. It's a small house. Original house is only 1,000 square feet, but I've got 100 feet of frontage and 135 feet of depth. I've got a piece of the old original forest in my yard. Almost nobody does that except the people across the street from me. And there are many deer in there. There are many rabbits. Two species of squirrels. Three species of woodpeckers, including the pileated. If you take out all of the old growth forest around, you're not going to have the pileated anymore. So Winnipeg prides itself on having this large forest, urban forest nearby. Well, part of that forest is within Charleswood, within the residential area. I would encourage council to be careful about this. There are traffic issues. This isn't the last development that would hook onto a cul-de-sac in here. There's another one. So it'll be bigger than 25. It'll probably be more like 50 in there if it goes in at this kind of proposed rate. I think that if the development goes ahead, there should be two exits. Should exit east and west. But you stop sign every intersection, including on Laxdal, three ways. You put a stop sign at every other intersection on Laxdal. You just get rid of the through traffic, make it inconvenient for them. Speed hump the road if you have to. Make it so you don't want to drive more than 30K. I can drive 30K to get down to the store. I'm only going a little distance. I don't appreciate people going by my place at 60 or 65 or 70, and you hear them with a big hopped up diesel wide open in the middle of the night. They are not stopping for that stop sign. So make it inconvenient. You can do things about it. Don't underdo the roads. I don't come from Winnipeg. I come from farther west. I have never seen a city build such small roads in my life. Parking on one side of the street? Well, Laxdal is a two-lane road, period. There's no parking lane. And I think that if further development is going to go ahead and you're going to allow 4,000 cars a day, council needs to pay for fixing this road. There are not proper drains. They're ditches. So I think those ditches need to be filled in. There needs to be some serious development there. The whole road structure needs to be redone if you're going to allow much more traffic. There, more traffic here means you are going to need a stoplight at the north end of Laxdal. It's dangerous now to turn left onto Roblin at certain times of the day. Very dangerous. You pretty nearly can't do it. And Laxdal's the option because there isn't a light farther west that you can use, not at all hours. So you're into other considerations here. You have further development that will go up in the bush back there. There will be pressure for more houses. Too many cars now. It's not a good idea to go with one exit, no matter which direction. So I think what I would recommend here is that you back this process off and make more consultation happen with the community. There is strong opposition here tonight to allowing 40-foot lots. This kind of thing was done a long time ago. Why should we go back to 1910 when people wanted to have a 25-foot lot? They didn't have transportation. We have transportation. I don't think even 50 is maybe big enough. Maybe they should be 60 feet minimum width if they're going to be rectangular. The representation that the lots on the other side of Laxdal and the newer development east of me are small is essentially a lie. I border on three of those by virtue of having 100 feet of frontage. They're not small. They're big houses. They're huge, but they still have land. One has enough land to have a nice swimming pool in the back, which I know about because it's party central all summer. Nothing wrong with that. I don't object. But you have to have enough land if you're going to do things like that. I don't think the developer needs to make small lots. He'll make plenty of money if he makes them big, keeps them in character, and makes them attractive. He should be able to sell them for lots more. He can make lots of money. Just crank the price up. You're not going to get this character anywhere else at any price. So charge what you charge, but increase the size of those lots, even perhaps beyond the extra proposal we heard here tonight. I'm not opposed to that, but I can't say I'm in favor because I haven't seen it. I had no opportunity until now. So I'm opposed to the existing proposals because I don't think they're adequate. I don't think they're good enough. If you knock down the trees in there, believe me, I'm a professional agrologist. I know about plants. Those oaks are old. You're not going to ever see them. They're gone. There are oaks in there. You can get some poplar down, but you're going to have to raise that area. There's going to be, like, take a razor to it and knock all the trees down. And then you're going to have to grow something else. It's going to be a long time. You're not going to have that character back for 50 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. That was the last speaker. Do you have someone else?
Just someone not in attendance.
Okay. Okay. That was the last speaker that we have reported or who has filled out a form in opposition to both options. Is there anyone else present who didn't fill out the form and whose name was not called? Okay, we also have Jackie Bannatyne and Cliff Bannatyne who wish to be recorded in opposition. I have a few speakers for information. Gloria Dohm, do you wish to speak? Okay. John Koutras, maybe left. Daniel Mercado. Okay.
That's it. Good evening, Dan Machado, 3606 Patchler. Not going to take my 10 minutes, just a few minutes.
There's only been one other representation, if I was listening closely enough, from somebody living on Bachelor. And just like to reiterate what they said, I've never been notified of this development. First I learned of it, as many people here have indicated tonight, was from when the sign went up on Laxdal. So when the representative of the development company says that they have consulted with the community, I can only presume that they've defined community very narrowly as including only those properties that would be adjacent to their development. And even from something, as I've heard tonight, even some of those people weren't included. But that's not a definition of a community. A community is a greater community. And that development is going to affect not only people on Bramble and Laxhall, but other streets as well. So I appreciate that the forest, and I'm glad that the last speaker used that term. It's the first time anyone's described that area as a forest. That's what it is. It's not green space. It is a forest. I appreciate it's going to be developed eventually, some form, but it has to be done in consultation with the community. If they want to develop it, then hold their feet to the fire. Have them consult properly with the community. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, is there anyone else present who wishes to speak for information? Okay, questions for the administration? Well, I have a few. Let me find their list. My first question is, just for the record, I know there's been a lot of discussion about this 21-foot lot, or 21-lot plan. Can we approve that? How it's different than what it's the closest version is option two. Can that be approved here today? And can you make some comment to that?
I would say I believe so. The Winnipeg charter and posting requirements have been met, and as long as something that comes forward that is a different, as long as it's not more intensive, which this isn't. This is less lots and they're larger lots. In my opinion, that it could be approved tonight. It's not out of the ordinary to have adjustments made at community committees, and plans have been changed and approved.
Okay. There was some issue raised today about sewer and water and whether adding in this area there was the capacity. Can you speak to some of that? And
Yeah, I'll let the engineer from Land Development answer.
Councillor, there is no issue with sewer and water capacity. There's a, for domestic sewer, there's a large interceptor sewer in Grant Avenue that this whole area has been designed to drain into, and the stubs are set up for future development of the adjacent lands, and the water main will be looped through there. There's also 5-foot diameter, actually, land drainage sewer in Grant Avenue that the Bramble subdivision drains into, and there's also capacity set out in the pipes for this future infill development of that whole area. I might also add, I did hear a comment about drainage in the area. Mm-hmm. This either proposal, any development proposal that takes place here, comes with a full range of city services, including extending land drainage sewers, which will bring them in closer proximity. They'll have to do backlot drainage as required to pick up existing drainage. So, in my opinion, drainage would be improved by development of this land in the neighborhood.
Okay, that's good. That was going to be one of my questions, that there is, in fact, a drainage problem over land in the woods in behind. And yep. And you anticipate that even on properties not being developed here, that will be corrected?
Well, within reasonable proximity, where the new development borders on what's to remain as is, it's incumbent on the developer to certainly not make that situation worse, and often, most times, it's made better.
Okay. Someone made the comment, one of the speakers, and I forget who it was in the numbers that we've had, that this may contribute to sewer backup. Can you comment on that?
Without knowing the specific history of sewer backup in the area, I'm certainly confident that that would not be an issue in the Bramble subdivision. Those are larger diameter. They're all 10-inch diameter wastewater sewers in there, as compared to some of the other areas of Charleswood with 8-inch wastewater sewers. And as I said before, it all drains directly down into Grant Avenue into a very large sewer. The Bramble subdivision was built in the mid-'80s. Current standards, it's the same standards we use today in any subdivision. And with the separated land drainage system, it's the likelihood of sewer backup is very rare.
And my last question is, there was a comment, a couple people commented on this 25-year moratorium that was established in 1998. Is anybody from the department aware of that, or can you speak to that?
We checked back in the file from 1998 and find no record. The only thing we do find is in a communication, a submission that was made to the committee at the time that did briefly mention delaying development, and my apologies, I didn't keep track of the page, but suffice to say that at the end of the day, the only recommendation of that that came out of that whole proceeding was that the application not proceed. That was the
at that time, there was no condition put no on, there, on the record.
It was only recommended not to proceed.
But that was a request by somebody at that public hearing?
Yes, okay. in a communication.
Okay.
So they just turned down the application, is what you're saying?
Yes, they turned down the application.
Okay, those are all my questions. And do you have any more
questions? No, I think Councillor Housebeck answered a lot of questions that we had, both 21 and the sewer. Covered them pretty good.
Okay, so I'll call upon Brian Gray for the final closing comments. You're out of order at this moment. Sorry, Pete, you're out of order.
She was speaking.
Yeah, she's,
yeah.
So.
He gets
the last.
Yeah, he gets the last.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Madam Chairperson. I'm joined on the floor, Madam Chairperson, by Mr. Adam Scharf, representing the ownership group. I just thought if it pleased the committee, there may be some questions that may come up that Mr. Scharf would be a better place to answer, so I asked Adam to join me. At least a couple of speakers spoke tonight, Madam Chairperson, about deer in Charleswood. I can assure the committee and all of our neighbors that nothing that we might want to do or anything the committee might decide is going to change the fact there's going to be lots of deer in Charleswood, regardless of what goes ahead in our land. I've spent some time out in the neighborhood this summer, and looking down Bloomer, enjoyed the sight of a deer actually in one of the side yards there. So I think that's safe to assume. Madam Chairperson, in listening to the discussions tonight, a lot of the discussion I think focused on what I would call our option two tonight, talking about lot sizes and lot values. If it would help the committee, Madam Chairperson, I would be happy on behalf of the applicant to say that we're willing to withdraw the first option, the cul-de-sac. I heard no support tonight. We're comfortable to drop that. We only brought it out in our consultation because of neighbors' concerns over traffic. So I think we're happy tonight just to say for greater clarity in our discussions henceforth, we're happy to drop that first option. Secondly, Madam Chairperson, I would commend to the committee's knowledge the fact that our lot sizes were referenced twice in the public service report to your committee tonight. both on page 9 and page 12, and that as the final summary conclusion, that in fact the public service, having reviewed all the evidence and all the facts, has in fact recommended acceptance of option 2. So both on pages 9 and 12 of your report, I would remind you that lot size is noted in passing. I think it was the last gentleman that spoke, Madam Chairperson, just a couple of minutes ago, who talked a lot about lot size. He talked about his concern for 25-foot lots. I used to live in Old Fort Rouge. I've seen beautiful new infill there done on 25-foot lots. We're not talking anything about that, Madam Chairperson. The same gentleman talked about his concerns for 40-foot lots. We have not proposed any lots of 40-foot width, Madam Chairperson. What it does, though, it kind of begs the question of what is our target tonight. I mean, Madam Chairperson, yourself and both of your members here in the committee would know better, but I would hazard a guess, Madam Chairperson, that there's precious few lots being proposed for construction right now in our city that are in the neighborhood of 60 or 70 foot width in established neighborhoods. I would say that's really not where our market's at, and in fact, our market has not been there for many years in Winnipeg. That is, in fact, witnessed in our neighborhood with the fact that on Bloomer Crescent, just a couple of hundred meters east of us, right across Laxdal, the homes that were built there a decade ago, many of them, Madam Chairperson, are on lots that I think you would find of a frontage of between 45 and 50 to 55-foot width. So, again, Madam Chairperson, I think it goes to what I spoke of earlier, which is in the natural progression of a city, such as we've seen in Charleswood from Laxdal to Bramble to Bloomer, and now what we're proposing, as decades go on and as property values change, such as we're seeing certainly in Winnipeg today, it simply becomes uneconomic to continue to try to develop lots at the size they were either in the 50s for Laxdal or in the 80s and 90s on Bramble. It just simply becomes impractical and uneconomic. I'll speak more to that in a moment, Madam Chairperson. If I could, though, I think, again, it's very clear to speak to the facts as we were admonished to earlier on tonight by the importance of sticking to the facts. In looking at our lot survey here, Madam Chairperson, to be precise, we're looking at lots that start off at the smallest range at a 46-foot width. There's a couple of those. We then progress to a couple of 48s, a 49, and from there on in, we go to 50 and above with obviously some very large pie-shaped lots. If I could, Madam Chairperson, just to add a little flare of drama here, I have very big feet. This shoe is well over a foot wide. So what we're talking about tonight is if we're talking about a target of, let's say, 50-foot lots, we have a couple or three that are a little more than this in width below that 50-foot target, if that's what we're talking about. If we're talking about 60 or 70-foot wide lots, I would again just say it's completely unreasonable, Madam Chairperson, for the city to start expecting landowners to bring in lots at 60 or 70-foot wide. That's just simply not where the market is today, and we'll speak a little bit more of that as far as some facts in a moment. If I'm correct in my proposition, Madam Chairperson, that the concern of our neighbors, as I listen closely to tonight, is based on lot size because of their concern over the value of their properties, and if you accept that proposition, then for me that's really the heart of the matter. We commissioned late last spring, early last summer, we commissioned an expert who, in fact, was the former chief of planning for the city, Mr. John Winthrop. We commissioned John to do a lot value survey of 60 homes within our immediate vicinity, within several hundred meters of our property. He looked at homes on Bramble, on Laxdal, on Bloomer, and then he took a bit of a look at citywide lots just to get, a sense of the current state of the market. This information has been provided to our committee clerk, Madam Chairperson. We indicated to people at our public meetings that we had information. We're happy to share it with anybody as well who would be curious to read all the data. What, in fact, was found, Madam Chairperson, is with the four questions that Mr. Winthrop was asked to answer. Number one, do large lots equal higher assessed values? Number two, do smaller lots equal lower assessed values? Number three, do newer, smaller infill lots have lower values than the existing larger lots? And finally, are there other neighborhoods in Winnipeg that have similar sized lots as the proposed development? In each case, Madam Chairperson, the findings came back based on data, based upon our city tax rolls. These are the facts. The answers all came back indicating that no, there is not a direct relationship between size of lot and the value of the property. And we've got the entire... Madam Chairperson, I would note that it was interesting tonight when Mr. Scott Loheed spoke of the importance of lot size and value, and his and I understand sincere concerns over the value of his own home. I listened very closely as to whether Mr. Loheed offered your committee any evidence to support his concerns. I do understand his concerns loud and clear. When I listened to Mr. Loheed, what I heard, number one, and I'm quoting, was that he had spoken to a realtor, end quote. Secondly, Mr. Loheed indicated that it was common sense, end quote, that smaller lots meant lower home values. We have offered to your committee tonight, Madam Chairperson, a study conducted by a professional based on tax roll information. That information will be made available to everybody tonight who's interested that shows that's simply not the fact. Smaller lots do not mean smaller values. If I could, Madam Chairperson, you have the 7 pages. I would absolutely not waste your time reading all of it. What I might, though, just offer a couple of highlights for people here tonight. Do large lots equal larger assessed values? No. For example, the Laxdal lots have the largest average lot area compared to Bramble and Bloomer, and yet the Bloomer lots have the highest assessed values. So on average, Bloomer has the smallest lots, but on average, the highest values. Number two, do smaller lots equal lower assessed values? The answer of our study is no. As an example, the smallest lot on Bloomer is ranked 16th out of 60 as far as values. So the smallest lot ranks 16 out of 60 as one of the higher values, in fact. Number three, do newer, smaller infill lots have lower assessed values? The answer, again, found in our study is no. As an example, there are more Bloomer lots with assessed values between 400,000 and 500,000 than of Bramble lots, which have assessed values of 400,000 to 500,000. So 18 of the 20 on Bloomer, which are smaller, had values between 400,000 and 500,000, compared to Bramble, where 10 out of the 20 had those same values of 400,000 to 500,000. And finally, Madam Chairperson, within our study, looking across the city, as I said, if you accept the proposition that newer lots being developed right now are in fact smaller, what was found within our study, one of the highest assessed lots, which was in Royalwood, which was at $637,000, actually came in at a smaller size than the homes on Bramble. So again, that fits within almost a decade, if you will, a decade of change each time around. So every time you come to a new decade of new lots, what the study shows, in fact, is that the lots are usually getting smaller, but in fact often have higher values than the older homes. So, Madam Chairperson, I completely accept the concerns of Mr. Loheed and as voiced passionately and sincerely by many other of our neighbors tonight. But again, I would point out that the study we put before you shows the facts, which show that those concerns are not founded in fact. The one other thing, Madam Chairperson, I think which is important to note, there have been, I don't know how many different plans drafted. As part of our own ownership group's efforts, we had, I don't know, at least 5 or 10 that I saw. Again, tonight, Mr. Scott Loheed was kind enough to bring a proposal. I was told at break that after our June meeting with some of our neighbors, Mr. Loheed had produced that night a plan that, again, in good faith, we actually took to our professional surveyors in an attempt to find out if there was a way to try to work with Mr. Loheed's suggestions. At that time, the surveyors told us that the number of lots that had been proposed simply could not be configured to try to enable future growth of the area, particularly to the north, as we've heard from tonight, landowners from the north who are here tonight. When we broke a few minutes ago for a brief recess, Mr. Scharf approached Mr. Loheed. Mr. Loheed kindly shared his plan tonight, which we found to be different than the one we looked at in the summer. What I would ask the committee, Madam Chairperson, is to be concerned as to whether or not tonight's proposal throws up yet more problems as far as trying to link up with potential future planning to the north for those landowners. Our understanding from our own surveyors, and again, this was part of our discussions with city planning and public works staff, was that the street alignment we are proposing in our second option is in fact the best. I can't say it's the only one, but I would ask you, Madam Chairperson, to refer that to our professional staff tonight to find out if in fact that is indeed the best, as we were told, to link up with neighboring property owners who we expect may indeed want to develop in the future. What we don't want is, in the spirit of concern over land values, to talk about compromises which just simply won't work when it comes to the need for proper planning and public works to link up to those future developments. So in summary, Madam Chairperson, again, we would submit that we've heard the concerns upon investigation, the concerns over our neighbors losing value of their properties based on what we're proposing is not founded in fact. I would suggest we've proven otherwise. I would suggest, Madam Chairperson, that if, for example, the committee wished to go with 21 lots as suggested tonight, that would be very hard to link up with future planning. And perhaps more importantly from our perspective, if we were, for example, to drop to 21 lots with some quick sort of pencil sketching over the last few minutes, we found that it would necessarily leave us with at least two or more lots that would be in the range of 70 to 80 foot widths. And again, I would suggest that those would be priced way beyond the neighborhood. It would put us into a different market segment that we simply don't want to be in. And again, I would say I'm not sure how many other developers in the city are being asked to bring forward 70 to 80 foot wide lots. I would just say that's just simply not very realistic within our current market. Anything else, Adam? Yeah, and just to be specific, Madam Chairperson, it's that stub of a road that would be leading to the north of our property on your plan that we were told was of the greatest concern when this was vetted through, as I said, civic, public works, and planning. And that's what has really driven our option two tonight in order to make sure that that links up for proper development in the future. If, in fact, that can be changed and it's not a problem for future development, you know, maybe there's some new options, but we were certainly not made aware of that when we asked those specific questions. Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson. We're happy to take any questions the committee might have.
Okay, I'm going to, I'll start with some questions. Let's just back this up a little bit. You know, you talk a lot about the market, and I'm hearing some surprising things from the people who have come out tonight. I mean, for one, in the public consultation that I attended, most people seem to be more supportive of option one, so it surprises me that we're now leaning towards option two. The thing that most people have in common, though, is trees, and that's why people choose to live in Charleswood, is for trees, for wildlife. I didn't hear it yet tonight from you, but at some point in some of the conversations in the public consultations, you talked about ensuring that there was going to be some rear setback. I can't enforce that here, but I want to hear from you what your intentions were in maintaining the trees and the look and feel of Charleswood in this.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much for the opportunity to reinforce that matter, Madam Chairperson. I believe at both of our public meetings, and I certainly expect in any other kind of one-on-one conversations the owners have had with neighbors, there's a commitment on our part to ensure that in all of our backyards, okay, side yards would be more of a challenge, but then in our backyards, on the east side of our development that would back on to the Bramble backyards, that we are very comfortable to commit to preserving a 10-foot buffer strip there of the existing flora and fauna to help provide more of that sense of the fabric and character of the neighborhood, a visual buffer, a sound buffer, all those sorts of things. And I would just hasten to add that we would be quite happy to do so on a side yard if the measurements worked out. If the side yards don't allow 10, it would have to be less.
Okay. It's not something the city can enforce, but I would hope that going in you would look at that.
Yes.
I want to back up, though. A lot of people that were here tonight, and I recognize it's difficult to include everyone, but a lot of people who were here tonight felt that or were not, in fact, invited to your public consultation meetings. Can you comment on that and some of the people that we heard from? Mm-hmm. Particularly, I'm thinking Bloomer, a lot of Laxdal wasn't included in either consultation, and I thought that you had increased where your distribution and invitation lists went to. Can you speak to any of that? Who was included in the public consultations?
Madam Chairperson, the understanding I have, I've just confirmed it with Mr. Scharf, is that going around all sides of our property, that anybody adjacent to our property was invited either verbally, by email, or by letter, and that from there on in, as the list of contacts grew to anybody that we were aware that either contacted us or made an inquiry or came to a meeting, that they were put on a list that was built cumulatively up until our December contact, letting all those people know that we were coming here.
Okay. Another piece of what makes Charleswood appealing is lot size. And I think we're hearing loud and clear that 21 lots is desired. Can you work with 21 lots?
It's really hard for the ownership group tonight to commit to 21 lots, Madam Chairperson, because it's there'll be lots of people here not old enough to remember a Rubik's Cube, but as you start moving one piece, other pieces move. And as I said, just for an example, with the 21 lot drawing that was brought to our meeting at Varsity View in June, We took that to our survey professional to see if there was some way they could try to accommodate it. The answer was no. It wouldn't fit, and the streets wouldn't fit. If there's a way that somebody can say that we can fit in proper street linkages to the north end, which mm-hmm. we were told by the civic officials was critical, we could look at it. But again, I would add that I would beg your committee not to require us to build lots of 70 to 80 foot width. I just don't believe that's keeping within the reality of current development in Winnipeg.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
Hi, Adam Scharf, 401 Laidlaw. I looked at Mr. Lougheed. I approached him during the break, and I looked at his plan that he had. It's a great plan. I have had it drawn up before, unfortunately. I took that one, I believe it was Michael Pill at the city. He quickly pointed out that there were landlocked parcels to the north where the road had to be more east, exactly where it's lined up on our plan 1 and 2. Mr. Lougheed's plan has the road up higher, which then leaves those pieces landlocked, and I believe there's another landowner here that has two more parcels that would leave that landlocked
okay.
as well.
So I'm not suggesting this plan, but I'm mm-hmm. I'm asking you, can you work within the 21 lot? Concept.
It's difficult to say right now. When we originally approached them, we had 25 lots. After the first meeting, we were asked to take four out by Mr. Lougheed. I compromised and took two out, and now they want another three out, which, I mean, we're definitely gonna look at the possibility, but at the same time, we have to do what's going to be best for the area and what's actually going to fit in the area. As far as values,
you ask it a different way.
I,
I sit through a lot of these committee hearings, as a lot of the councillors do, and you know, you always have people come up and say, you know, not in my backyard. And you know, it does seem that there's been a lot of work done by the group. It seems like a pretty rational plan, to be quite honest with you. So I think you might have to get your head around how you're going to make the 21 work, kind of more to what Paul had to say. It seems like a pretty rational approach to it. So I'll let you think about that, and I don't know if you have any questions.
Having lived in Charleswood for a good portion of the 70s and 80s, I'm not unsensitive to the needs and why people live there. This is not the city's land. It's your land. And I think the citizens that have come out tonight have to understand that. We can only talk in terms of what's retained of the existing flora and fauna, really on what your development plan looks and shares. So having said that, you know, we're all in favor of keeping Winnipeg green, but at the same time we have to juxtapose that about tax revenue and what goes to support the city services that we have. So that's why we have development. And I've heard tonight many times we're not opposed to development, but it's sort of a NIMBY situation too. I would like to think that your group can work with the existing residents. I can tell you that if you've gone forward with proposal one, that the fire chief who was here tonight would have said you'd have to have sprinkler system in all those homes to support the safety issue. So the fact that you've moved totally to option two, I think is a good thing. And the reality is, yes, Laxdal is a busy street and this will make it a little busier, but there's probably another 50 to 60 lots on the north side of this development that will come at some point in time, not this go-round, but I'm suspecting that, you know, when Bramble was developed 25 years ago, it was a rather urban-rural blend of concrete paved streets inside of Charleswood, which had ditches on the outside. It was sort of a bit of a contradiction to Charleswood living, as was where I lived up in what they called Forest Park. Anyway, the issue tonight, I think, is sort of thrown back to you, and I'm happy with Plan 2, with 21 or 22 or 23, whatever the number is, I'm going to support the development, but to make the best effort that you can to satisfy the surrounding neighbors with what kind of a plan you can come up with. So I'm looking forward to it going forward. Thank you.
Any more questions?
No. Okay. Thank you. Is it best to read from this? Was something changed too?
Oh, you can read from the motions there, but just to keep in mind this.
Okay. So, Councillor Fielding, you'll take the chair?
Sure.
Okay. I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor? Opposed? Carried.
Can't say aye.
You want to open still?
No, I'm approving option two. Okay.
The revised report did.
Okay, so I'm moving that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in option two with the revisions that there be a maximum of 21 lots on the property. I encourage that at least the 10-foot green space be preserved, the trees be preserved, although I cannot enforce it. And the fire chief has asked me that we encourage the use of sprinkler system in any of the development. So, and that be forwarded to where? Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development. And just before we close out, I'd like to make a couple of comments. I mean, a lot of people want to live in Charleswood. We are very fortunate to live where we live. We have lots of draws, woods, deer, other wildlife, a rural feel. And lots of families will find this a beautiful little development. I think it adds to the tax base. It uses existing infrastructure, which is somewhat there. And I do think it's a fair compromise to the residents in the community. I do believe I heard most of you say that you could live with this proposed plan. I realize it's not perfect. The people who live on Laxdale don't want the traffic on Laxdale. The people on Bramble don't want the traffic on Bramble. We have some traffic issues. We've looked at a traffic analysis. It just came forward in December. We'll be looking at making modifications around the school so that there are some improvements in that regard. So I hope that most people can find this a fair compromise.
Okay.
Do
you have any comments?
I said everything I needed to say.
Yeah, just my comments. You know, I support Councillor
Havisbeck. I think it makes a lot of sense. Seems like a pretty good compromise. You're having the development that's happening. It's in a way that I think makes sense for the community. I think it's Scott did a fantastic job laying it all out, and with that, I'll support the motion coming forward. And I will call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And move that the public hearing.
Yeah, and I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor? Opposed? Carried.
Now on the variance. What do we need to do
for this item?
Okay, before I move to the variance, please note that the committee has made a recommendation on this matter that will now proceed to council. No further representations are permitted, and all persons registered for the public hearing will receive notice when the matter is considered by council. Okay, and on the variance item, I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor, opposed, carried.
That the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor, opposed, carried.
Now, I believe that the variance is needs to be modified. Is that correct? Given that we have changed the lot size now back to the larger size, how is this to be worded then?
The variance... A part of the variance allows for a minimum lot size of 5,324. I believe in a 21-foot situation, the lot sizes would be bigger than that. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't recommend changing that necessarily.
So stick with this
stick
variance?
Stick with A. And then the variance B allows a minimum lot size of 40 feet because in option one there were a couple 40-foot lots. So in number B, you could change that if you wanted to a larger number, if you are more comfortable with a minimum lot size of 45 feet or a minimum lot size of 50 feet, that might be an idea. Or you could leave it the way it is because you've put a condition of 21-foot lots, 21 lots only.
So I don't know that we can calculate that here. And that it doesn't meet the, I don't know that we need this variance, no.
No, you may not, except...
Can it not come back if they need the variance?